say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small dawn is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Hello, listeners of the St. John Forward radio show. It's Halloween night, and I'm here up in the booth, all alone, terrified out of my wit. More like St. John Forward spitting out some more turds up here, right outside of my butt, because there's some really spooky things going on here at the radio station. I tried to do a live video earlier today when I got home. First off, I was waiting for the sunset to happen across my lawn in the backyard so that I could do a Leatherface-style chainsaw dance in the sunset. And the sun decided to set in a different place than I swear that it ever sat before tonight, and that threw up my whole cinematography. And so, but still, I was going to do it anyway. I had my phone alarm set for 5:30 because sundown was supposed to be at 6:13, just so that it, I could time it out just right so I wouldn't miss it. I'd rather get an alarm early, take a look out the window, and then hit the snooze button if necessary, but the sun wasn't doing what I wanted to do, so I decided to just get it done anyway, and I asked for a hand from my my life partner, May, and she was going to film me, and I did my chainsaw dance, but then my alarm went off at 5:30 like it was supposed to, but Facebook gets real confused when your phone is doing something different when you're trying to do a live stream. It happened before. I got two phone calls during a live stream, and I wasn't sure what was going on, because when you're live, you're in the moment and you have no idea. But turns out that it just trims it out, the final video, those spots where the phone is blowing up. I don't know what it looked like live. I can't even imagine it. But anyway, this time the phone was all jingly jangling and the alarm was ringing because it was time, but we were already knew that it was time because we were filming. And then my camera person panicked and got freaked out, and then I went up and I didn't know if we had stopped it and started a new one, and I just got very frustrated and impatient. Was kind of a wiener head, and that was our live stream, so it was a failed video followed by a small fight and then completely deleted from the internet forever. And so that was the first curse of the evening. Did a remake of the video, but it wasn't live. That's the thing, we need that live intimacy. Because, you know, I've set it up these past 2 weeks in a row. My fans have expectations of what to expect from me, and that includes a stupid live Facebook video sometime before the show. And it wasn't quite the same to have a pre-record. I thought maybe silver lining, I could add in some chainsaw sound effects, but my video editing software also wouldn't work, and that was the second curse of the evening. I made the video and put it up, and it's just been insanity ever since then. I pulled up here in the parking lot. The Wi-Fi didn't reach down to my car. That was the third curse of the evening. And but I decided to soldier on. I made that sacrifice to use my data for you, the listeners, just so that you could have that live spontaneity. And just did a typical intro to the show, but then in the corner of my eye, I saw something strange in the distance. It was just a flash. Something just blew right by, and I didn't know what it was. It was terrifying, and I rushed into the building even though I, as I'd said, I came in here and the door was open earlier when I was here, but I came back in and the door was closed and I had to go to the security office, which also gave me a little bit of confidence in my safety, just walking down the hallway with the security man. It made me feel much better. And we got in here and it's just spooky as all heck in here. And hopefully the final curse, but it's the final one that I know about, is in all that rush to do the live video. To introduce the show, I rushed right in here and I left my bottle of water down in the car. My voice is feeling very raspy. The effect is kind of working for the tone that I'm trying to set right now, but I've got a bit of a cold and my throat is hurting a lot right now. So I don't know what's out there, but let's turn down the Suspiria theme a little bit here so that we can make a good transition. I'm just gonna play something hopefully to appease the ghosts and keep them distracted while I run out to my car to get my bottle of water. I assume ghosts, like people, generally like songs that are about people. So this is a song about ghosts, so hopefully the ghosts like it and they're too busy listening to the radio to bother possessing or murdering or driving me mad. But if I don't come back, you'll know what happened. This is Down, Ghosts Along the Mississippi, on Local FM my gosh. Oh my gosh. That was the scariest. I should have faded that out. That wasn't a very good transition. I apologize. That's just another curse for this evening on Halloween. Here on the St. John Forward Radio Show, local FM 107.3 is what you're listening to. Or maybe if you miss an episode, you can go to johnforward.com and there'll be a little player there in the podcast section with the newest one right at the top. Oh, but I did make it down to the car. As you can tell, my voice is slightly less raspy. I hope that's not a problem for anybody, but I made it down to the car without any terrifying visions or apparitions. I found my bottle of water and cleared up my throat pretty good so that you can hear my golden voice. And I still don't know what's going to happen. So far, there's been no sign of any ghosts other than the one that I think I saw on my way in here. But it is Halloween. Spooky things have been known to happen. And such as spooky things. That was a weird way to phrase that. But spooky things such as coming up later in the show. We've got the old H to the C classic content / John St. John Forward Radio filler, but it's not filler, it's pretty good. It's a Halloween special from 2013. It's called The Milk Bag of Cthulhu, and it's like a little radio drama. It's our take on the H.P. Lovecraft story, The Call of Cthulhu, only H.P. Lovecraft, the man. I enjoy his writing, but the man was a terrible racist. Even by, like, way back then, I think I'm not even going to take a guess at which decades he was active in case I'm wrong and make a fool of myself. But even back long time ago in days past when his stories were written, people were like, man, H.P., you racist. Yeah, you don't need to name your cat the N-word. That's not cool. But, this is the H to the C classic revisionist version of that. Made completely by non-racists and for non-racists, so you can enjoy that, coming up later without any racism guilt. Because we've dripped all of the racism dry from the story, and we're telling a terrifying tale. It's very literary. It's very highbrow. There's some dense language. I borrowed some phrases from the story, and if you're stupid, you might not be able to understand it. But you can listen to the cool music and sound effects and nod your head and pretend like you understand. And that's almost just as good. But I'm still, I feel better now that I've got my water. But it's still pretty creepy being in here. It's dark out. I'm all alone here at the radio station. And normally when I find myself alone, I just take off my pants, but it doesn't feel like it's appropriate right now. I feel like I don't want the ghost to float in through the wall and have me be literally caught with my pants down and trying to comically scramble away from the ghost and trip over my pant legs because my pants are pulled down to my ankles. That wouldn't be cool, but for right now, we're going to hear some more music. Let's go with some Timber Tambor, Lay Down in the Tall Grass. It's what I feel like I should do to hide from the ghost. This is kind of a depressing song. It's dark. I think there's like a dead body being found in a field somewhere, and also, fun fact, I think this song is used in a camera commercial that they run at the movie theater, which is an interesting choice, but it works for spooky Halloween tunes and will hopefully keep the ghosts at bay. On the St. John Forward Show. ¶¶
lay down in the tall grass, in the flat bottom boat. We lay down and wait for you, with nothing but a piece of rope. Dreaming every night of you, shaking at the sight. I'll be dreaming every night of you, I'll be shaking at the sight of you. Will you beg for forgiveness? Will you pray to be saved? Or will you choke your children when they spit in your face? Dream on every night of you, shaking at the sight. I'll be dreaming every night of you, I'll be shaking at the sight. I dreamt you found me out in the field, you tripped over my sight, and you dug me out of a shallow grave with your Swiss Army knife. And only you could revive me, so badly decomposed I was bone white, dry and scaly. But you still took me home, dreaming every night of you, shaking at the sight of you. I'll be dreaming every night of you. And how can you be so serene? Motivation unclear. In a late basement seance that brought us to tears. Dream on every night of you, shaking at the sight. Oh, I'll be dreaming every night of you, I'll be shaking at the sight. And I dreamt you found me out in the field, you tripped over my sight, and you dug me out of a shallow grave with your Swiss Army knife. And only you could revive me, so badly decomposed I was bone white, dry and scaly. But you still took me home, dreaming on every night of you, shaking at the sight of you. I'll be dreaming every night of you.
Back here on St. John Forward Radio, and I'm beginning to wonder if this whole ghost thing is something from my past that's coming back. I remember one time when I was a kid, I don't remember exactly how old I was, I'm going to guess like 10, I was at my dad's place in Fredericton every other weekend visits and such, and just one night I'm downstairs in my my basement bedroom, and I start hearing like all this crazy racket going on in the house. Like, I'm laying in my bed and it sounded like somebody was taking like a hockey stick and, or maybe like a cigarette package, something maybe smaller, but just putting it through the posts on the railing and just running it up and down and up and down, like, and I'm laying in my room. I'm terrified, almost as scared as I am right now. And it was like thunder and lightning out, and I was freaked out. And I went up and knocked on my sister's bedroom door, because, you know, that was the other child in the house to make sure that I'm not going insane. Like, this isn't something that you want to wake up dad for. Like, hey dad, I think there's ghosts. But hey, little sister, like, she's two years even dumber than I am at this point. So if someone's gonna believe my story, it's my little sister Allison. And we go up and I tell her what's going on. And then she gets all freaked out from it, and we're kind of sneaking around the house in the dark, trying to figure out what's going on. And we're both terrified, and we're feeding off each other's terror, because that's like double imaginations going on. One person hears something, and then they pass it on to the next person. And whether it's happening or not, we're just feeding off each other's fear like that. And we're like hiding downstairs in the basement, and the lightning is flashing, and like my curtains, where it's all bunched up at the top of the rod, looks like a scrunched together alien face. And this story doesn't really have an ending. I don't remember what happened after that, but it was very terrifying. And I think maybe it was the same ghost that's following me along right now to the radio station here. This background music that I've just started playing probably would have been far more effective when I was telling my my scary ghost story from my childhood, but that's just the way today's been going. It's just been curse after curse here on the St. John Forward radio show. Just terrible things happening every day. I didn't win the costume contest at work. Ah, it was such a disappointment. Do you know, and the people that won were a group of people that were all in one department dressed up as Ghostbusters. And there was one guy that was wearing an inflatable ghost costume. The ghost costume was pretty good, but the Ghostbusters uniforms were subpar. I actually had a better one last year. It even had my name as a patch on it. That lost, but a whole group of them in cheap knockoff uniforms this year, they took the prize. I went to work as Leatherface, but you can't wear your skin mask on your face all day at work. Just in a couple of minute bursts, if I'm going to the kitchen to get a coffee, I picked up my chainsaw, I put on my skin face and walked. But otherwise, it just looked like I was wearing a suit and like it wasn't buttoned up all the way. But not very terrifying. It just looked like I was dressed up like a professional man at work, which I should be anyway, but I wasn't. And just walked through. A surprising number of people don't know who Leatherface is. And I feel a deep shame and sorrow for those people. They went around taking pictures, and they sent out the email with the people that were in costumes to vote on who the best costume was. And there was a picture of me as Leatherface holding the chainsaw proud up above my head. And above me, where it should have said Leatherface, it just said Killer. And the people spoke up, and nobody voted for poor Killer John. And that's how this whole mess got started. We're nearing the halfway point in the show, and I think what's gonna happen is we're gonna play one more song, maybe a station ID, and then we're going to get in the Milk Bag of Cthulhu by H to the C a whole bunch of non-racists. As far as I know, I might run into one of those people and they might say something really terrible and I'll have to reconsider it. But at this moment, I have no reason to believe that anybody involved with this production was a racist person. So even though H.P. Lovecraft was a racist, you can enjoy it. Racist, guilt-free, here on the St. John Forward Radio Show. But let's hear "Cemetery" by the Headstones. Let's make sure everything's all turned up. We're gonna turn it up. There we go. We'll be back.
I got a girl that lives on the wrong side of town. You know what I want, and man, you know she'll know how. It's the other side, another place. Like it there, no account of taste. Can't think of nothing when I'm without her. But the rain and the wind and the cemetery dirt. Went down to the cemetery looking for love. Got there and my baby was buried. I had to dig her up. Went down to the cemetery looking for love. Got there and my baby was buried. I had to dig her up. 18,000 miles across nowhere land. Scratching and I'm spitting the rain. Nobody listening to things. I gotta get it out. I'd like to make these kind of things deteriorate. What's the gospel truth, man? She's mine, not yours. Went down to the cemetery looking for love. Got there and my baby was buried. I had to dig her up. Went down to the cemetery looking for love.
Care. My grandfather always said, if you can't learn something in 3 seconds, it's not worth learning.
Is there such a thing as a font color that will only show up if you hold the UV lamp up to your computer screen?
Oh, we should invent one if there isn't.
I hope you were looking the whole time.
I hope so, too.
Because if you were,
you're here it comes.
All idiots.
Stupid, stupid idiots.
Dislocating your groin is probably the most painful thing that you could ever do.
More painful than when I had to look into her beautiful fat eyes and tell her that this Manitoba milk bag just wasn't going to work. H-T-O-T-H-E-C. H-T-O-T-H-E-C.
beach to the sea, motherfucker! My tale begins with a single glimpse of forbidden eons, which chills me when I think of it, and maddens me when I dream of it. That glimpse, like all troubled glimpses of truth, flashed out from an accidental piecing together of separate things. An innocent phone call, or a harbinger of the horrors to follow.
No, I understand that. Yeah, we're all going to be making a sacrifice. And we're going to need some virgins as well. Okay, you knew that. Good. Okay. No, it's the right one. All of the stars are going to align, and we're going to have it perfect for when he comes.
Hey, sorry.
Okay, I gotta go. Okay, goodbye.
What was that all about?
Oh, you know, John, just work stuff. I'm actually working from home today. I've had some stuff to take care of around the house.
Yeah, I know. My basement's all fixed up, and we've just been trying to put the pieces... What the fuck is that, Ryan?
It seemed to be a sort of monster, or symbol representing a monster, of a form which only a diseased fancy could conceive.
What?
That big ugly statue there?
If I say that my somewhat extravagant imagination yielded simultaneous pictures of an octopus, a dragon, and a human caricature, I shall not be unfaithful to the spirit of the thing.
That thing is uglier than your cousin Tina. Jesus Christ.
No, but it's funny you should say that. When I found it in the attic last week, I actually thought it was a sculpture of my cousin Tina for a second. But you're right, it really creeps me out.
That thing is fucking creepy. I wouldn't keep it in my house.
If I'm being honest with you, John, I think it might actually be giving me bad dreams.
What do you mean?
Well, I've just been having these really weird dreams lately, and I can't really remember quite what they're about when I wake up, but I have a bad feeling all day, and then something, you know, mildly bad happens. I almost feel like prophetic.
Ryan was a precocious youth of known genius, but great eccentricity, and had from childhood excited attention through the strange stories and odd dreams he was in the habit of relating.
I was actually talking to my parents about it last night, and my mom said that I might be psychically hypersensitive.
Your mom's always been kind of a fruitcake. What did your dad say?
My dad said that I was merely queer. Actually, John, it's really nice that you stopped by. Are you up to anything right now?
Not really. I was just driving by and I saw that your light was on, so I stopped in.
I'm just really busy right now. I have this thing coming up and I have all these errands to run. But Dr. Webb's coming by from the university to pick up that ugly-ass statue.
What for?
Well, you know, he studies antiquities and...
Do you think it's, like, an antique?
No idea, I just thought
he might... It just looks like an ugly pile of puke to me.
Yeah, I thought he might just, like, want to take a look at it or something.
Yeah, I can stick around, and, when's he coming?
He should be here within, like, the next half hour or so. He was coming on his lunch.
Yeah, well, I wanted to go over some stuff for the podcast, but, I can come over another time.
Okay, we'll catch up later.
Alright, see ya.
See ya.
Only poetry or madness could do justice to the noises heard upon my next visit to Ryan's home. It was a chaotic sensation which only fancy could transmute into sound.
Punglui, Mgwalnath, Cthulhu, Rele, Watnago, Fatagan. Watnago, Fatagan.
Cthulhu, Fatagan, Rele?
You doing Rosetta Stone?
Oh, John! Am I doing Rosetta Stone? How about are you doing knocking?
Sorry. I just got some podcast stuff to... We need to get a new episode out soon.
Oh, no, don't worry about it, John. I'm only playing. You just startled me. It's no big deal.
So what was that all about?
What was what all about?
Were you just talking to somebody on the computer?
Oh, on the computer? No, no, no.
Alright, so you're, that professor guy stopped by yesterday. He was kind of weird. What department does he work in?
I don't know, the Department of Archaeology or History or Archery? I've never really been good with that sort of thing, John. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, just that statue, it's just been... I don't know, it just... The more that I looked at it after you left, the more it just... made me, I don't know, uneasy?
The diminutive figure, whose utter strangeness and air of genuinely abysmal antiquity hinted so potently at unopened and archaic vistas. No sane mind could have animated this terrible object, yet centuries and even thousands of years seemed recorded in its dim and greenish surface of unplaceable stone.
That's why I sent it to him, man. You're preaching to the choir.
Well, did you hear anything? Did he figure... Where did he find out where it came from?
Hopefully I never hear of it again.
So, do you want to do some recording today?
You know, John, it's really offensive that you think you can just stop by here anytime you want. I mean, what if I had been rubbing Vaseline all over my rabbit and seeing where she fit in my body? Wouldn't we both be feeling pretty embarrassed right now? What if I was doing nude Pilates... What if I was playing rodeo on top of a midget dressed like a clown?
Ryan, I've seen worse, and we need to get some work done, man. Come on.
John, I said I was busy, alright? I don't have time for this.
Alright, well, I'll talk to you later, and I'll let you know when I'm coming, I guess. Is there a good time? When are you free this week?
How about when I'm free, I let you know?
Okay.
My skepticism and distrust of my podcasting partner Ryan continued. I had to gather more information about his bizarre dreams, strange statue, the maddening words that I hear coming from his own mouth. I turned to the internet, and what I found was of portentous significance to my flagging quest. I had quickly instituted a prodigiously far-flung body of inquiries amongst nearly all the search engines I could question without impertinence. Found disturbing evidence of the so-called Cthulhu cult, as well as many accounts over the past several months of people having strange dreams. My results were varied, but I did find that scattered cases of uneasy but formless nocturnal impressions appeared here and there over the past several months. There were 4 cases I found with vague descriptions that suggest fugitive glimpses of strange landscapes, and in one case there is mentioned a dread of something abnormal. 4th of those who reported anything, reported scenes and half sounds, not unlike those which Ryan had spoken himself. There's one website from a group in California which describes a Theosophist colony as donning white robes en masse for some glorious fulfillment which never arrived, whilst items from India speak guardedly of serious native unrest towards the end of September. Voodoo orgies multiply in Haiti, and African outposts report ominous mutterings. And also numerous are the recorded troubles in insane asylums, and only a miracle can have stopped the medical fraternity from noting strange parallelisms and drawing mystified conclusions. It was nightmare itself, and to read it was to die. Digging further into this Cthulhu cult, I found that they worshipped, so they said, the great old ones who lived ages before there were any men, who came to the young world out of the sky. They all died vast epochs of time before men came, preserved by the spells of mighty Cthulhu. They could only lie awake in the dark and think whilst uncounted millions of years rolled by. After infinities of chaos, the first men came. The great old ones spoke to the sensitive among them by molding their dreams. For only thus could their language reach the fleshy minds of men, who formed a cult which had never died. This was that cult, and the internet said it had always existed and always would exist, hidden in distant wastes and dark places all over the world until the time when the great priest Cthulhu, from his dark house in the mighty city of Rylai, should rise and bring the earth again beneath his sway. Someday, he would call, when the stars were ready and the secret cult would always be waiting to liberate him.
Hello?
Hey, John. What's going on?
Ryan, I've been reading all this stuff on the internet, and I'm really freaked out, man.
Oh, yeah, we all get freaked out when we read the internet. That's why you shouldn't read the internet.
No, I mean, like, with that stuff that I heard you talking about on the computer yesterday and that statue.
John, I wasn't talking on the computer yesterday.
Ryan, just hear me out.
All right. I actually called for a reason, John.
Do you want to do the podcast?
No, I don't have time for the podcast. I actually have a little surprise lined up for you.
I don't know if I'm in the mood, man. I've just been, these last couple of days I've been really freaked out.
John, if you've been having a rough week because you're all freaked out, all the better. I've got something big planned for us Thursday night.
Thursday?
Imagine, John, just letting loose, throwing all your morals aside. It's going to be wild. It's going to be free, man.
I don't know, man. I guess, I don't know, maybe it will take my mind off it.
You bet it will.
Where?
Well, you know the old Arkham Observatory?
So we're going to have some crazy freakout at a observatory? I didn't even know we had one. Where is that?
It's on Rayleigh Avenue.
Rayleigh?
Yeah, Riley.
Riley?
Yeah, Rayleigh.
Okay,
I don't have any time for questions, John. I just need you to be at the Arkham Observatory on Thursday night. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, but...
Okay, great, thanks. Gotta go.
My research continued. The time would be easy to know, for then mankind would have become as the great old ones. Free and wild and beyond good and evil, with laws and morals thrown aside and all men shouting and killing and reveling in joy. Then the liberated old ones would teach them new ways to shout and kill and revel and enjoy themselves, and all the earth would flame with a holocaust of ecstasy and freedom. The events of the past week have manifested in myself only in alternations of unconsciousness and delirium. As I approached the observatory, I noticed ugly roots and malignant hanging nooses of Spanish moss beset them, and now and then a pile of dark stones or a fragment of a rotting wall intensified by its hint of morbid hesitation, a depression which every malformed tree and every fungus islet combined to create. My heart nearly stopped as the hellish outlines of the nameless monstrosity came into focus, although there was a touch of bizarre familiarity in the monstrous shape of the thing. The geometry of the dream place I saw was abnormal, non-Euclidean, and loathsomely redolent of spheres and dimensions apart from ours. The very sun of heaven seemed distorted when viewed through the polarizing miasma welling out from this perversion, and twisted menace and suspense lurked leeringly in those crazily elusive angles of carbon rock, where a second glance showed concavity after the first showed convexity. One could not even be sure that the ground was horizontal, hence the relative position of everything else seemed phantasmally variable. As I reached for the handle, I wondered how any door in the universe could be so vast. When I thought of the extent of all that may be brooding inside, I almost wish I could kill myself forthwith. Was I tottering on the brink of cosmic horrors beyond man's power to bear? Death would be a boon if only it could blot out these memories. I would have fled had I not feared the scorn of Ryan in the event of my incorrectness. So I entered half-heartedly, knowing that I shall never sleep calmly again when I think of the horrors that lurk ceaselessly behind life and time and space, and of those unhallowed blasphemies from elder stars which dream beneath the sea, known and favored by a nightmare cult ready and eager to loose them upon the world whenever the stars align again. The hallway was lined with giant figures of exquisitely artistic workmanship. They represented monsters of vaguely anthropoid outline, but with an octopus-like head whose face was a mass of feelers, a scaly, rubbery-looking body, prodigious claws on the hind and forefeet, and a long, narrow wings behind. These things, which seemed instinct with a fearsome and unnatural malignancy, were of a somewhat bloated corpulence, and squatted evilly on rectangular blocks or pedestals covered with undecipherable characters. These creatures were one and the same with that which I discovered at Ryan's house 1 week ago. At the end of the hallway stood a lone figure draped in a white hooded robe.
Who's there?
Oh my god, it's John! Hi, John! Okay, wait, just a sec.
Misty?
Yeah. Okay. On this unholiest of nights, I offer you my maidenhead, as symbolized by this melt to be combined with your seed into this cool bag with weird scribbles on it, and at which time it is to be splashed back upon mine own mortal body.
If I accept this Manitoba milk bag, won't it awaken the great priest Cthulhu from his eternal slumber?
I knew I was powerless to resist the call of Cthulhu as my erect penis stood up at an angle which was acute but behaved as if it were obtuse.
What has risen may sink, and what has sunk may rise. Okay.
The Manitoba milk bag cannot be described. There is no language for such abysms of shrieking and immemorial lunacy, such eldritch contradictions of all matter, force, and cosmic order. God! The thing of the idols, the green, sticky spot of the stars that awakened to claim his own. The stars were right again, and what an age-old cult had failed to do by design, a band of innocent podcasters had done by accident. After vigintillions of years, great Cthulhu was loose again and ravening for delight.
Surprise!
What? What? Ryan? What's going on?
You mean what's going on? We're throwing you a surprise party.
What?
John, when people jump out at you and yell surprise after giving you your favorite thing in the world, that's called a surprise party. You know, John, I know it's been a while since you've had a Manitoba milk bag. Maybe you don't understand that the purpose of a surprise party is actually not to make you this surprised. You're actually supposed to be happy.
Do you understand the last week that what I've gone through?
All the trouble you've gone through. John, look around. Everybody in here has gone to a great deal of trouble to make this the best Halloween ever for you.
It's just a Halloween Manitoba milk bag party?
John, did you forget that it was Halloween?
This last week has been hell for me, Ryan. I've been scared shitless, to be honest. Man, it has been a while since I've had a Manitoba milk bag, but...
Yeah, well, John, you can't really give somebody a terrorgasm as a gift without inspiring a little bit of terror. I admit we've been maybe messing around with you a little bit.
But what's... I heard you talking about sacrifices on the phone the other day.
Yeah, we all had to sacrifice a lot of our free time to set this up for you.
What about that... When you were on the computer and you were talking that weird language.
Well, you kept busting in on me, John, while I was trying to plan your surprise party. And Professor Webb works with the Department of Linguistics at the university, so I just had them write me up secret code.
But, well, then why did he want to study the statue?
He wasn't studying that statue, John. I know you love creepy old shit, so I had him replicate it using their 3D printer.
Oh, that's where all these statues came from?
Yeah, that's where all these decorative statues came from. They're all replicas of that ugly one I found in my attic.
Well, I gotta say, this is the best terrorgasm you've ever done for me, Ryan.
And I've done a lot of terrorgasms for you.
So good that I don't know if I'll be able to experience joy ever again in my life. I don't know if anything could ever be this good again.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I have looked upon all that the universe has to hold of horror, and even the skies of spring and the flowers of summer must ever afterward be poison to me. Thanguli, Wumlafa, Cthulhu, Rylai, Waganagal, Fatagan, in his house at Rylai, dead Cthulhu waits dreaming.
There you have it, St. John Forward Radio fans. Classic H to the C episode. Didn't see that twist ending coming. I forgot about Misty's cameo there at the end. So yeah, that's the first time I've heard that in a little while. I was not disappointed. There's lots of inside stuff. I don't know how comprehensible it is, and the echo made it a little bit hard to hear my voice, but... We make do. We make do. And that was an awkward transition. So, we're getting to the end of the show. The end of Halloween, St. John Forward Radio. You can probably tell that I'm in better spirits right now. I just had a 22 and a half minute break while I could go and collect my thoughts. That milk bag of Cthulhu was pretty terrifying, though. But I'd heard it before, so there was no surprises. I'm a little desensitized to that particular brand of terror, but I decided to face my fears dead on. I went out to the parking lot just to investigate what was going on, and I did see the specter again. But it wasn't what I thought it was. Turns out, like, I'm an old veteran of here at the radio station. We used to do H to the C here before it was a podcast. And it must have blown out from the woods, but one of my old Manitoba milk bags was just hanging around the campus. Maybe coming back to get a second degree. Casually floating through that Halloween air. Just as I pulled up tonight, some might say that it's fate, and that Manitoba milk bag, it still worked like a charm, and whenever I get a Manitoba milk bag, I'm always feeling much better, so I guess it's a happy ending, so to say, here on another episode of St. John Forward Radio. I've got some stuff coming up this Friday, November 4th, 2016, at O'Leary's Pub in St. John in the upstairs acoustic room, 8:30 to 11 o'clock. We've got No Jokes Bard Deluxe. We've got Arif Hussein is hosting. He was my guest last week. We've got the Hoveland guys doing a spot. We've got the return after a three-month hiatus. Mark Splood, the spawn of St. John, coming back and dusting off those old cobwebs, and he'll probably be able to put it together, but it doesn't matter. Even if Mark Splood crashes and burns, which probably won't happen, but maybe. That's pressure on you, buddy. We've got Brittany Campbell cleaning up the mess with a half-hour headline set, all the way from PEI. Love having Brittany on the show. She was there for a 15-minute spot a little while ago. And then also this week before that, if you happen to live in Fredericton, I'll be at the Wilser's Room Thursday, November 3rd, whatever time that starts, 8 o'clock-ish, I think. That's a good time to be there. I don't know. And, yeah, johnforward.com for the rest of it. It doesn't get updated as often as it's supposed to, but we do what we can here at St. John Forward Radio, and this has been another fine episode, I will say. It's going to go down in the history books as the scariest radio show ever on local FM 107.3 at 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. No, it's not Eastern time, it's Atlantic time. Here in St. John, New Brunswick, at the radio station. That was the scariest thing that was on this station at that time. That's safe to say. But that's enough rambling for one night. Let's take us out with some Phantomas. I'll see you next week. Same St. John Forward time, same St. John Forward channel. Or you can listen to it on the internet, or the radio, or the website. So there's various channels, but they're all St. John Forward channels. La, 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 good night. La, la.